Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Right now, we're going to take a look at a story that a listener submitted to Your Uncommon Economic Indicators, our online and on-air collaboration telling stories about the economic crisis. 212-433-9692 is the phone number, 212-433-WNYC. If you are an EMT, listen closely, give us a call. We'd like your thoughts on this post from Edwin Roberts. As an NYC 911 paramedic for 20 years, I have noticed staffing changes that could be linked to the economy. In the past, I've had one paramedic partner who worked 8 hours a day, 5 days a week on my shift. We were a team, and the treatment routine and roles were well established and rehearsed. Money is tight. To make ends meet, paramedics are compressing their work schedule so they can work at many institutions within the same week. For example, a paramedic may complete his or her shift obligation in 3 days at one employer, only to work the same compressed schedule later in the week elsewhere, equivalent to almost 2 full-time jobs. Why is this a problem? Double shifts on a busy day are exhausting and mistakes can happen. Also, positive patient care outcomes work better when the team members are rested and have a regular working relationship. Chaos is the unwanted third partner when you really don't know your partner and can't predict his or her intentions on serious jobs. 212-433-9692 is the phone number, 212-433-WNYC. Give us a call. Tell us whether you agree with listener Edwin Roberts. And joining me now to talk about this is Tom Dick. He's a columnist at both EMS Magazine and the Journal of Emergency Medical Services. He's also the quality care coordinator for the Platte Valley Ambulance, a hospital-based 911 system in Brighton, Colorado. Tom Dick, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
So does what Edwin Roberts writes ring true to you? Is it true that EMT workers are working harder now?
I think they're working more. And a lot of systems, especially smaller systems, are pressured to get more work out of each EMT, so they're decreasing their staff. It costs a lot of money to staff an ambulance, and it's pretty hard to it's pretty easy for a manager to say, you know, well, we can cut staffing costs if we just increase the call load for each ambulance by one call a day or one call per shift.
Now, but what would that, I'm a little bit confused about why EMTs would be working more hours. I mean, if you already have a job, is it because your family is under pressure? And if EMT companies are, you know, shedding ambulances, then wouldn't there be less jobs available?
Actually, there are fewer jobs available for EMTs who are entry-level people. So there are some EMTs who have 20 years experience, but mostly that's not the case. Mostly an EMT position is an entry-level position, and your dollar value per hour, if you want to look at it that way, increases with your years of experience.
Right. So understood. I mean, that seems to be happening everywhere in the workforce, right? People are sort of shedding the more expensive older workers, getting people who are more inexperienced and who are cheaper. But that wouldn't necessarily mean you're working harder. It just would mean you're greener.
Well, if a system is incentivized to handle 50 calls a day with 5 ambulances instead of 6 ambulances, you know, there is a temptation to do that. And right now in the United States, we're having a big problem staffing our volunteer ambulances. And so there are a lot more calls being handled by the private sector. 60% of the landmass of the United States receives their EMS from volunteer EMTs. And that system worked well when our economy provided that the average home was supported by one homeowner, but it hasn't been that way in 10 years. And now we're in the midst of this recession, and so it's even harder.
We do want to take your calls at 212-433-9692, especially if you are an EMT or maybe you've been in an ambulance recently or know someone who has. We'd like to hear your experience. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. We're on the phone with Tom Dick talking about the experience of EMT workers in this economy. I wanted to get your reaction to something that our listener wrote in. He said, chaos is the unwanted third partner when you really don't know your partner. Tell us about that. Is that your experience?
Yes, it definitely is. When you're working with somebody when you're handling the demands of an emergency, you have to be a fast thinker. And you sitting at a console that you're used to right now in a radio station, you're used to where the knobs are and the buttons are and things. You don't have to think about those things. Your automatic part of your brain is much more reliable than the frontal part, which is the creative part, the cognitive part. When you're in your own ambulance, you know where all the equipment is. You don't even have to think about it. When you're working with a partner that you're used to, and you're facing the constraints of an emergency, you don't even have to talk sometimes. You interact automatically, and it's easy, and it flows, and those are calls that go very, very well. When you're working with somebody that you don't know, you don't know how they think, you don't know how they act, you don't know how strong their training is or where they received it, you don't know whether they know the difference between a Sager splint and a hair traction splint, for instance, or how safely they drive, if they know their routing. These are all things that you know very well. When you work with somebody for a third of your life, which is 10, 24-hour shifts a month, that would be considered full-time in most systems. You know how they think. You know a lot about them. You're almost married to them.
All right, let's take some calls. Bennett from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hello, Andrea.
You're on the air. Did you want to say something?
Oh, yes, I did. I'm a 911 EMT in New York City in central Brooklyn. And actually, strangely, paradoxically, the private voluntary hospitals are actually expanding right now. The fire department runs most of the EMS in the New York City, and they're shedding units left and right as, you know, city funding is cut. As a result, the hospital units, which the fire department has been spending the last 10 years aggressively getting rid of, are now experiencing a pretty strong resurgence. And call volume is up because when, you know, economic times hit, you have more ER visits by people to do their primary health care.
So are you experiencing what Edwin Roberts, our uncommon economic indicator writer, wrote, that people are working more shifts in the, you know, sort of, I guess it's called the voluntary hospital system in New York, and because there is, you know, all this economic pressure?
Well, certainly the bosses are putting more pressure on us to make the calls that we do productive. I mean, a good percentage of the calls that are done are essentially done pro bono because the parties that are taking them, you know, we're taking to the hospital don't actually have any insurance whatsoever. But now they're sort of pressuring us to make sure that we get more insurance or, you know, work harder to make sure that we have some form of, you know, billable sales. But
now, how do you do that as a 911 operator? Don't you just sort of have to go where the calls are?
Essentially, yes. It's entirely about how much effort you put into, you know, finding insurance on the person when you first step, getting demographic information for later billing.
Now, what does that mean? Does that mean if you get a call and you said you're in Brooklyn, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you get a call from, you know, a sort of, you know, wealthier neighborhood, would you take that one first? Because the likelihood is that they would be more, you know, have health insurance?
Absolutely not. The 911 system dishes out calls on an almost automated basis. You can't make your choices about your calls. You're dispatched to them.
However, so I'm a little confused. I'm just a little confused because you said there was sort of pressure to get more insured patients. Does that mean more patients? How does that work?
Well, you have to understand that when you pick up a lot of patients, there's a lot of question as to identity sometimes, or whether or not the person, you know, you get insurance from a person could be a question of whether or not you spent 5 minutes or 10 minutes in the hospital. So it's more about, you know, pressuring us to take the calls that we do get and dig deeper into the personal, you know, lives of the people, make sure that we get names, numbers, that sort of information, something that, the fire department is notoriously lax about. They don't really care whether or not they get anything more than a John Doe off of an average patient, whereas the voluntary hospitals care a lot more about whether or not they have something that they can use to bill at a later date.
I see. And the fire department, of course, runs the emergency medical system in New York. Okay, well, look, thank you very much for your call, Bennett. Let's take another call. Nick from Morristown, New Jersey. Hi, you're on WNYC. You're also an EMT?
Yeah, hi. I'm a volunteer EMT, both with my hometown outside of Morristown, New Jersey, and I also work at school as an EMT, paid. And I just wanted to make a general comment with I was agreeing with your speaker about in terms of volunteer numbers have really been affected in our hometown, and it's a squeeze from both ends because not only is our town not doing as well financially, and they're always trying to cut the budget. But, you know, having to go from a volunteer to a paid service or trying to find other methods of covering our town is something that we're trying to deal with right now. And it's you know, it's a real shame and a problem that we're trying to deal with.
So is the squeeze for you that there are not enough EMT workers?
There's just not enough volunteers due to the economic, I guess, the economic times right now. And people probably feel like they don't perhaps not have the luxury of volunteering. Although at the fire department, we always question this because, you know, perhaps people who are not currently working would maybe come out and volunteer, but perhaps people at the same time would be, you know, have different jobs on the side or something.
Now, how about that Tom Day column in the City MS magazine, what Nick is saying? Because he's seeing fewer volunteers, and yet he's sort of wondering about, you know, why that would be if people are out of work. What's your experience with that?
Well, I think people who are out of work are desperately looking for work, probably. But EMS is seeing a lot more people today who get their for whom EMS is their primary source of health care. So if you live on the street, for instance, you know, the first thing you lose is your wallet, okay? You lose that the first night. And let's say that you wake up in the middle of the night with the worst sore throat of your life and you live in a cardboard box or a crate or something like that and you're freezing cold. You can't go to an urgent care center because you don't have a MasterCard or any ID. So you walk into the front door of a big ER, a big public ER, university hospital or something like that. I'm not familiar with the hospitals in New York City, but I know there are some big hospitals there that will take anybody. And you'll wait 4 hours for service. Maybe you'll wait longer than that. You won't get a discount, but you will get a bill for the service that you received, and that bill will keep you on the street. There's a lot of pressure, especially in bad weather, for people who don't have jobs to try to find them. And it's really hard for them to get them. You got to have a cell phone. You got to have ID. You have to have cash to last you until you get a job. You got to have those things in order to get a job. So I think a lot of people who don't have jobs are pressured into finding jobs. There's a group called the U.S. Council of Mayors.
Tom Dick, we have to end it there.
Okay.
So I know I'm catching you mid-thought, but we are out of time. Tom Dick is a columnist at EMS, and thanks very much to all the EMTs that called us. Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC.